As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello and welcome back to the Arty Friends podcast. This is Allison.
And this is Kara.
Today's episode is going to be our monthly recurring segment of WWYBD. This is What Would Your Bestie Do? Our monthly Q&A segment where you guys send in anonymous questions and we do our best to give wholesome best friend advice. Maybe not the best advice in the world, but it's the advice your friend would give you. So we'll do what we always do, catch up, share our peaks of the week, and then we will get into the Q&A.
Yes. Any fun updates? I have nothing exciting to share. Do you want to go first?
I know we've said this before, but this is why we make such a good team, because whenever your life is exciting, I'm like doing nothing. And then whenever I have updates, you're like chilling. So it's great because then we can pass the torch back and forth.
Yes, that's so true. Well, what's your exciting updates?
I have a couple. I'll share some in the catch up and then we'll save one for the peak. But we went to Mexico City Saturday to Tuesday, I think. Maybe Friday to Tuesday. I don't even know. I'm getting my days so mixed up. Which even with that, guys, I forgot to post the peak of the week box for the first time ever, I think in 4 years this Monday. It was weird being gone on a Monday, Tuesday, because I was like trying to work while we were gone. And then when I got back, my Wednesday felt like my Monday. And now we're recording on a Thursday, which we never record on Thursday. So I'm all messed up. But Mexico City was encouraging. That's the word I'm going to use. Because it's been really hot in Tulum, and I know I keep saying that, and that's like such a dumb thing to complain about, but it made me realize the main reason that I don't like the heat in Tulum is because there's no infrastructure. A lot of places lack AC, and there's not a lot of sidewalks and not a lot of shade. In Mexico City, in the main neighborhoods that we were staying in, Condesa and Roma Norte, you know how they have like those paths like in the middle of the two sides of the street? Like there's so many people running and it's so shaded. Yes. And those huge trees make it like so much more bearable. And I really, if Tulum had that, the heat would be so different.
Lots of shade, lots of parks with trees. Yeah, it is very shady there. That's very true.
I know. It's impressive because like the temperature is the same, I think, but it really does make a huge difference how they've set up that city to have the trees are like as tall as the building. So that you're sitting outside on the patio is in the shade to where like this morning I went to the beach for sunrise and then I was just going to sit at this little cafe restaurant and get some work done. And it was like 7:30 and I had peaches with me and I tried to sit inside and they were like, oh, we can only have dogs on the patio. And I went out there and I was like, no, I'm going home. Like, I'm going to be dripping sweat out here. Like, the sun is beating right on me and the wind from the ocean. I was like, I'm not going to get anything done on my laptop like this. And so it was nice to go somewhere in Mexico that has that infrastructure. And I think that that ultimately is what I've been missing about Tulum. I've been missing infrastructure.
Yeah, because for people that don't know, I still have not been to Tulum, but I know from you and other people that it just blew up so fast and it outgrew the infrastructure planning. And I feel like Connie has told me this too, but there's just so much that exploded without thinking through how things are gonna, like city planning.
100%. Because Tulum was a tiny, tiny town and it doesn't have the history that like Mexico City has or even Merida or a lot of other places that were either like a fort or some sort of historic reason that a lot of people settled there, where back then when the city was being created, they thought about how should we set up the streets? How should we set up the sewer system, the electricity? But Tulum, it just like happened so fast. And so you have these amazing, really nice apartments, but then you don't have like hardly any paved roads. There's like two, what do you call them? I don't even know what they're called anymore. Streetlights?
It's been so long since I've been in civilization.
Like those things above the road?
That's so funny.
Jeez.
Yeah. Like traffic lights or actual lights?
Yes, traffic lights. Oh, well, honestly, no, there's not street lights either.
Literally both. Oh my gosh. Well, like when you used to share those stories of you walking in the dark, just like pitch dark for 45 minutes, that was scary.
I know. That was not smart of me. We were coming home from movie night last week and there was a guy like walking on the side of the road probably at like 10:30. And we were like, should we like stop and tell him not to do that? But I'm like, that was literally me. So
I hear you. You made
it. He'll be fine. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Just watch out for the Jaguars. But anything else about Mexico City? Did you get to do anything fun? Like any restaurants you really liked or any touristy things? It's such a magical city.
It is a really great city. Well, remember when I had parasites last October, November? I think Clay's going through it right now because he was down bad. And really, we just like did a lot of walking, ate at some restaurants. I think I've been there 4 or 5 times now, so I have so many places saved. So I was trying to do a mix of going back to some of my favorite places while also trying new places. And I'm sure you know it. You know that black tiger t-shirt that I wear like 3 days a week, probably half the time we were recording? Well, I was telling Clay that I got it at, it's called Goodbye Folk in Mexico City. Really cool vintage store. They have a couple locations. One is like 4 stories tall. And I had gotten that vintage tiger tee there maybe 3 years ago. And I love it, but it can't leave the house anymore. The holes in the armpits, like at every seam and like up on the shoulders, it has become so thin. It's like my favorite sleep shirt. And it sucks because the pattern on it is so cute. But yeah, I cannot leave the house. And it's getting longer and longer. I used to be able to wear it with like jean shorts. And now it's like almost to my knees. And so I was like, Clay, we have to find me another, like a new tiger tee, basically. Mm-hmm. And I kid you not, at the same store, Clay found it. Another vintage tiger tee that's also like a charcoaly gray, but it only has one tiger. The other one has 2. And so immediately we like freaked out and I had to get it.
Yay. Success. That's amazing. And you said you stayed in Condesa, Roma Norte. That's where we stayed too when we went, when I was visiting Brady. That's a great area for anyone who's listening that wants to go to Mexico City. I feel like that's a great, close to touristy things, close to fun restaurants and things
so
to
walkable.
Do.
It felt great to get my step count in the 5 digits again.
Yeah, I know. That's definitely for me too. I struggle with. I'm like, oh, if I just lived in a city again, I'd be doing 15,000 step days all the time.
I know, without even trying. Like,
without even trying.
I have to put in effort to try to get 10,000 steps here. Like, I really can't even do it. I was talking to this cute couple. He was Austrian. She was from London the other day at this coffee shop. Maybe that was just yesterday. And she was like, we're leaving because, like, how do you get 10,000 steps a day? Like, you can't. And I'm like, no, you can't. I've been here a year. I've tried.
It's like not possible. Oh, yeah. Okay, so you're back. Any other final thoughts with Mexico City? Just that it was hot, but doable.
I took the cheapest flight of my entire life. Guess how much the flight back from Mexico City to Tulum was? When we were showing up at the airport, I was like, we probably don't have a flight. Like, there's no way it was real.
I just need you to tell me because I'm so curious.
$33. It cost us more to get an Uber to the airport each direction because it was like $45, I think, each way from Condesa back out to the airport. So literally the Ubers were double the cost of the flight.
That's crazy. Oh, if only the US was like that. Damn, that's nice.
I know. Ugh, $33.
Flights are so insane. That's amazing. Okay. Intertravel in Mexico, possibly a great route to go.
Yeah, definitely recommend it. Like, or vice versa. If you go to Mexico City and you are thinking the coast is so far away, land-wise, it kind of is. But hour and a half flight for apparently $50, I guess, each way. The way there was $75. Still. The way back, $33. So, like, yeah, that's $110. Amazing. Go for it. Okay. How about you? How are you doing? How was your week?
Week was good. Connor was out of town for 5 days. He had a work conference in Vegas. And I feel like I've said this on the podcast before, and I'll say it again, but I love when he goes out of town because he really only has 1 or 2 work trips a year. And the other one's in New York City. So I usually try to go on that one because obviously love that place and still have so many friends there. But as someone who he's usually here all the time, it was nice for him to leave and me just like have the house to myself, feel like I'm living alone because I don't think I ever lived alone because I've always had roommates. I don't think I ever lived alone in my life. Yeah. I'm trying to think, you know, because every single, when I lived in New York City, I couldn't afford to live alone. So I had two roommates and any other apartment. I lived with seven other girls in college. Well, for 2 years plus a roommate freshman year and sophomore year. So it's always fun to cosplay as if I live alone when Connor leaves. And I've just been in such this hustle mood of tackling every single house project that has been hanging over my head for years or months, depending on what it is. But especially since we're like kind of thinking about moving in the next couple of years, I'm like, it would be so much better if I just get some of the stuff done now instead of having to do a lot of things whenever the opportunity arises to move, because yeah, it'd just be a lot better to space it all out. So just random things like patching up walls, cleaning out, like the one of the biggest things I have to do is clean out all of my camera gear, because you just acquire so much stuff as a photographer, content creator, which I'm just like, that is overwhelming. I'm looking at it to the side. So just like little things like that. I've been just going down the line, and on Saturday I stayed in and just like boom, 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 did all this different stuff. And it was quite exhausting, but I'm feeling very relieved now that I'm like getting some of the stuff done.
You're in a true spring cleaning mood.
Yes, exactly. And then yesterday I went to, there was a huge tornado in St. Louis this weekend. I don't know if people heard about it because I didn't, apparently a lot of people didn't hear about it, which is really sad because like five people died. So huge, terrible tornado came through St. Louis and I went to a relief event yesterday. I'm not saying this to make myself sound like, you know, whatever, make myself feel good, but just to raise awareness. So, because literally so many people had not heard about this tornado, like all my friends that live out of state. So if you feel inclined to donate, I'll leave the link for the organization that I went to in our show notes, but just me and my friend went and supported because yeah, a lot of people lost everything, which is so sad. And I just always think about in those situations, like, dang, if that was me and like no one cared, I cannot even imagine. Because there have been like a couple tragedies in recent weeks, you know, with, I don't want to say, but like there was like a couple tragedies online, and it was like a certain influencer family, and someone made a video talking about like that feeling of like when something so bad happens to you and like the whole world just like keeps moving and moves on. It's like the worst feeling in the world. And I know that feeling when having like a big scary life scare with like family, and her vocalizing that, I forgot about that feeling. Like when something so bad happens to you, you just look around, like people are still posting on social media, like the world just like goes on. It like actually feels so devastating, and you're like, how is no one else care about this? So that was just what I was thinking about with the tornado stuff. So I tried to help out, and hopefully I can continue to help out because it's going to be months long of recovery and cleanup and stuff. So I'm hoping I can do some sort of cleanup effort and help out in that way. But yeah, crazy times here in St. Louis.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. I hadn't heard about it at all. Are tornadoes common to St. Louis?
No, I think that's the thing. Of course, tornadoes hit in this area and stuff, but the last time it was as destructive as this one, I think it was over 20 or 25 years, but maybe just on a scale of other natural disasters that have been way worse. I feel like this is just like a smaller one, but still people died and stuff. So it's horrible. And people, yeah, their homes are gone and stuff. It is kind of surprising. I'm surprised it didn't reach further, but I just think there's just so much. There's the fires in California. There's hurricanes in Florida. I feel like it's just sadly just got lost in the news cycle. But yeah, we'll link some stuff if anyone wants to help out or donate. And if you're in St. Louis, lots of supplies. Like you can donate diapers, hygiene supply. There's so many other ways if you don't want to donate money or your time.
I'm also glad that you brought up how it feels when something bad happens to you and then the world just keeps moving. One of the questions that we're going to answer later is someone asking, what's a good destination for when you're grieving? And we've been saying it, but we want to have a grief specialist on the podcast so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is just yet another reminder, because grief doesn't also have to entail losing a loved one. It can also entail like your entire home being taken mm-hmm. away in a tornado. That's super devastating.
Yeah, that is a good reminder. So hopefully we'll have that for you guys soon. We have reached out to possible guests. So fingers crossed. Yeah. On a more positive note, I was teasing this lifting and Legree program that I've been doing with my brother-in-law, made it, Julian, called 123 Legree. And it's finally live as this episode is up. So if you want to purchase this lifting and Legree program that Julian put together, I'll have it linked to my bio on my Instagram. Instagram and socials, also put it in the show notes. But yeah, that was something that Julian made for me for my wedding. I did it last year. I completed it again this year. And I'll probably just continuously keep repeating it and doing progressive overload with the lifts just to keep it up. But it's such a good program for feeling strong, not necessarily getting lean, but kind of that energy of like lifting to get lean. I know people that get scared of lifting weights, they think they're gonna get so strong and bulky and stuff, but that has not happened to me at all. And more we're seeing studies that say lifting weights prevents diseases, keeps your cognitive health superior, and very, you know, maintains it over time. So I really liked it. So if you guys want to check it out, it's live.
Amazing.
Yay.
Okay. All in the catch up with one more positive as well. Mm-hmm. I officially signed the lease at my shop, 1404 Collective, that's in Omaha, for another 3 years. So now I'll have that lease till June 2028. And that feels so good because now I'm like with upgrades that I need to make, or like when I'm putting a lot of time into our systems, anything, I'm like, okay, this matters because we're going to be here for a while. It was hard because when our lease was coming up and I wasn't hearing back, because I think only the Patreon members would know this, but the building that 1404 was in sold to a new owner. Mm-hmm. And so I was like unsure if the new owner was going to offer me the opportunity to resign, but praise heavens they did. And now we get to stay for 3 more years. And I'm just so, so relieved.
That actually is such a big blessing. So thank goodness that renewed. So I'm very happy for you, because I've definitely seen situations literally down the street from me where someone bought the whole strip of buildings and half the tenants had to leave because they tripled the rent. And it's just like, what are you supposed to do in that situation?
I know. And I was like, oh my God, if they don't give us the opportunity to renew it, it's just pulling the plug out from underneath me. And I'm just going to have to like go back to Omaha on a whim, find a new place to put it. The store is literally named 1404 after the address. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, we have to do a whole rebrand. But I was like trying to not even go there in my head, because I was like, we'll cross that bridge if it gets there. And I also want to say last weekend, just over the weekend, we had our little Bohemia spring market. And it was the best weekend the shop has had since we first opened. I don't know if we'll ever exceed our opening week, hopefully, maybe someday. But I was so proud because I wasn't even there. Like the last 2 years, I went and helped, of course, with the spring market. But for us to have such a rock star weekend and me not be there, I'm so proud of the staff.
That's amazing.
I know.
Wow. And that's such a staple to that area. So good thing the business owners recognize that. You guys bring so many people to that area. That and like Archetype, the coffee shop, I feel like those are essential parts of that area.
Thank you. I agree. I'm biased, of course, but I think we're an important part of the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's part of the cutesy bohemian vibe. That's what makes that neighborhood. Well, I'm glad that we don't have to worry about that. So congrats to 1404.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. And your peak of the week?
Peak of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So me and Connor are celebrating 1 year of marriage on May 26th. So that has just happened as this episode is live. And that's my peak, because how fun is that? How fast this year has gone by, can I even believe? And it feels like it was literally just our wedding. So that's kind of sad. But nonetheless, it's a great thing to accomplish, a year of marriage. And we're going to celebrate. We were actually supposed to go on a trip Memorial Day weekend, but where we were going, it's supposed to rain the whole time. Thunderstorms literally every single day. So we canceled our trip. It's so clearly not going to be good weather. And a lot of the things we're going to do were outdoors based. So we're going to go to Charleston sometime this summer and do a 1 year anniversary trip and just like make a little 2 or 3 day trip out of that.
Aw, happy anniversary. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I feel like now Memorial Weekend to me isn't Memorial Weekend anymore. It's like Connor and Kara's like wedding weekend.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I always think of that now.
Wait, that's so sweet. Well, thank you. That was such a fun weekend. I should go back. That's what they say.
Yeah, it was a great wedding.
That your wedding is like the one time in your life where you're going to have all the people that you care about in one place. And it's probably never going to happen again until your funeral, which is like, that's sad. That's terrible. So yeah, I definitely still definitely cherish that. And having all my people there, like that was literally peak weekend of my life. Definitely up there. So yeah, it's fun to celebrate it.
Good. I love that. Well, we look forward to Charleston updates when the time comes.
Yes. Okay. Your peak.
Guys, it's a big peak. I wanted to tell you earlier, but the real reason that we went to Mexico City was for an ultrasound, because I'm pregnant.
Woo! Yay!
It feels really crazy to say I'm pregnant.
So crazy. Yeah, how do you feel? Can you give us an update? Because how far along are you?
I just finished my first trimester. So 12 weeks down, I'm on to week 13. I honestly am really relieved with the result of the ultrasound because I was feeling so good that I was actually concerned that something was wrong because I was like, am I actually not pregnant? Like, I feel really good. And I'd heard so many horror stories about people's first trimester, like the morning sickness, the all day nausea, just feeling really horrible. And I felt really good. And I was like, why is this the case? Like, is something wrong, actually? But the ultrasound was a mind-blowing experience. I am really grateful. The place we went to, she like walked us through the entire ultrasound. She would do one thing and then tell us what she was doing. Like, I'm measuring this for this reason. I'm looking at this for this. And I was like, whoa, I didn't know they did this in an ultrasound. And she's like, oh, in the US, they do not do it this way. Wow. She's like, I just like to give you guys context of stuff. It was an hour and a half. She let us like hear the heartbeat. She was so thorough and explained everything. And I really felt like I got such a good value for it. I mean, it was $700. I don't know how much ultrasounds are in the US, but that felt kind of expensive. But private healthcare, I guess that is what it is. But we couldn't see the gender of the baby. And guys, my biggest fear literally ever is needles. I want to have a natural birth because I don't want an epidural anyway, but I hate needles. They freak me out. I will do anything to avoid shots. At the end, she's like, okay, we need to do a blood test. And I'm like, no. Oh, no, 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 no. I like start crying. And because I was not mentally prepared. And yeah. I was like, how, if you guys are squeamish, fast forward 2 minutes. I was like, how much blood are you going to take? And she's like, 2 vials. And I was like, and how long is that going to take? She's like, probably a minute. Well, let me see your vein. And then she like looked at my vein and she's like, oh, maybe 30 seconds. And I was like, oh, good. Okay, at least I have good veins. I like took my shirt off so I could like put it around my face so I couldn't see anything. And I have this like aromatherapy thing. And I was like trying to breathe it through. Did it for the baby. Because if it was just for me, I would have been like, nah, we don't need that.
Screw my health.
Yeah.
I don't need to know.
But apparently with that, we get the gender results in 10 days. Mm-hmm. So I think the day this episode goes live, hopefully we're getting an email with the gender. But I'm actually going back to Omaha on that Wednesday, May 28th. And so we're like, ah, oh, if we get the gender, maybe we should do a gender reveal party with our family.
Yeah.
Because we didn't even think about that being a possibility because we're like, oh, we'll be in Mexico. We'll just find out and be like, okay, great. And now we're like, should we do the basic thing? Maybe. So I think we're going to try to finesse that for the end of next week. I made all my family vote for what they think. Except I need yours. What do you think?
I was trying to think about this. Oh my God. I feel like I totally see you with a girl first, but then I feel like you're going to get a boy. I don't know. That was what I was thinking. I'm like, I can see you being like cutesy girl mom first, but for some reason, I feel like it's going to be a boy. So I'm going to say boy.
You are.
Which one do you want? Do you have a prediction?
The tally is heavily leaning towards girls. Like literally everyone has voted girl.
Yeah.
And even Clay wants a girl.
Oh.
I think 55% I want a girl, but I think it's going to end up being a boy just because everyone is like, it's a girl, it's a girl, it's a girl. And my mom said it was the opposite. She was like, I think it's a boy. And everyone was telling me it was a boy. We had a boy name picked out for you and then you were a girl.
Ooh. Oh my gosh.
But also like, so right after I got pregnant, a few weeks in, I was like, it's a girl. I just felt it and have felt that for the last like 3 months. So I guess I would say I feel like it's a girl, but I think it could be a boy.
Yeah.
And this is a wise tale, so there might not be any merit. But the main reason that I think it could be a boy is because I feel so fine. My hormones haven't been crazy. Mm-hmm. And they say in the old wise tale, if you're feeling more emotionally regulated, it's a boy. And if you're feeling a little bit more emotionally up and down, and that's probably such a stereotype anyway, based off of how men and women are in general. But I've really just felt so fine. I'm truly so grateful for that.
I agree. That's a good thing because I have heard people get so sick in that first trimester. I was wondering if you were feeling sick. So I'm glad to hear that you weren't because that just sounds miserable, truly. But okay, then I hope I'm right because then I'll be going against the
grain.
Yeah, going against the grain. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. But okay, well, to see. I think you definitely need to have the gender reveal party. That's such a cute idea and great timing.
I know. The only thing I don't like about gender reveals is the like effort of people caring so much what gender it is. No matter what, I just want the baby to be healthy.
Yeah.
Like, of course, you know? And so if anything, we're thinking of doing like a gender reveal / like, oh, we just signed our marriage papers /
cute.
We're moving abroad party. Like just a
yes.
Three birds with one stone send off. So it's not just about the baby's gender. It's more about bringing everyone together.
Yeah, because now, at least online, it's more of like the spectacle of the gender reveal party online that's gotten a little icky.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little cringe, but not this reason would literally be because your family loves you so much and they want to, like, they're celebrating a lot of, like, would this be the first for your family? First grandchild for your parents?
Yeah, this would be my parents' first grandchild.
Yeah, so, like, there's just so much excitement with that. And I feel like all of that way trumps, like, in no way are you guys doing it for the spectacle or, like, the... But I just know, like, that has definitely become more of a thing of, like, we're gonna do Nickelodeon slime baby yeah. gender reveal and the slime is gonna be a boy or girl. And, like, that is crazy.
Yeah, like super over the top. Yeah, I definitely don't need all of that. I could keep talking about this for so long. Now it's like what I think about and research and talk about all day. Also, one of my best friends is pregnant and her due date is like a few weeks before mine. So it's been so fun to be able to like go through this together. But I cannot wait to have a bump. I'm like, just get here already. I want to just have my belly hanging out. I'm like, I feel like there's a tiny bump there, but when they weighed me, I was like, I think that's what I've always weighed. So,
are we sure?
I'm like, was it the pastry this morning and yesterday, or is that a bump? Can't be sure. Which also, I'll say this because it's really funny. When I told my stepbrother, he was like, yeah, I thought you were like looking pregnant in this photo that I had posted a long time ago. And I was like, dude, I was only like a month pregnant. The baby was like, barely implanted, like the size
maybe
of a pinhead.
You never know. Some people clock it. Some people know when people are pregnant. Like maybe you look different.
Well, my boobs were kind of big in this particular photo. And I think like one of my other friends texted me after I posted it because I'm wearing like a bikini top in this particular photo. I'm in like tan pants, if you guys want to go creep, and a green top. She was like, girl, your boobs are looking extra big. Got anything you want to share? I was like, whoa. But she's already a mom. So I think, you know, she could see that.
She could sniff it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just with, oh yeah, Eva, the friend that you connected me with. And she was telling a story of her friend who is a nurse practitioner or something and knew, like, clocked it immediately within their friend group of someone that was pregnant, just like seeing something or like noticing a certain thing. And once they finally announced it, she's like, oh, yeah, I knew way long ago because she could just tell. So it's true. People can tell, I guess.
I know. And there are behavioral things. Like when I told you guys I stopped drinking alcohol again and stopped drinking coffee for the first time in my life, when have I ever just suddenly been put off by coffee?
Well,
no one said anything.
That didn't even flag to me. Yeah. I feel like you're always trying new things, though. So you're the guinea pig friend, as we've said before. So maybe the no coffee just was like, oh,
there goes Allison. Another phase.
Yeah. Another phase. She's going to drink mushroom coffee now and she's going to tell us if it's good or not. Stay tuned for results. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and talk about one of our sponsors real quick, Shopify. As you guys know, starting a small business, there's nothing small about it. There are so many things to do. And both myself and Allison run a business, obviously, we run this podcast, and it has been consuming us since we started. There's always a new decision to make. And sometimes those small decisions feel so massive. And something that really helps you when you have a small business is choosing a company that has a great reputation, that does things right, so that the small decisions can be the right decision. So that's why we love Shopify. It is the best commerce platform, and Shopify is behind millions of businesses around the world. Did you know it actually is 10% of all e-commerce in the US is Shopify? So that's brands like Mattel, Gymshark, Skims, you name it. Those brands use Shopify. You can tackle all of your important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Shopify makes the marketing minefield easy with built-in tools for running social media and email campaigns, so you can find new customers and keep them. And if you're looking to grow your business internationally, Shopify has global selling tools that can help you in over 150 countries. I mean, for us, it's a no-brainer. Shopify is the e-commerce platform to use. If you're selling anything online, get all the big stuff right for your small business right now with Shopify.
Shopify.
Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. You can use the code alreadyfriends to get a $1 per month trial. Again, at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thanks to Shopify for sponsoring the show.
Okay, the holidays are sneaking up fast, and it is not too early to get started on your holiday shopping and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods is making holiday shopping way less stressful this year with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you cannot find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is the best place to discover extraordinary designs from small businesses and independent makers since 1999. It's truly the perfect name for this website because there are so many unique and interesting gifts for anybody in your life, and there's so many different niches. The mixologists, the gardeners, the diehard football fans, the history buffs, the book lovers, whatever your person that you're shopping for is interested in, you're gonna find something special and unique on Uncommon Goods. One scroll through their site, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's just so many unique niche gifts, and they're all from independent artists, small businesses, so you feel good supporting them. A lot of these gifts are made in small batches, so when you're shopping for the holidays, shop now because they will sell out, which is a great thing because we love a small batch unique gift. Also, every purchase at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So get started early on the holiday shopping this season at Uncommon Goods. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends. That's uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends for 15% off. Do not miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
No, before you hopped on, I said that I was so shocked that you posted it. And not that it was like crazy, because you're right, this is the time he'll post it. But the post was very cute. And I did not know that was going to be the pregnancy announcement post. Like, it just like looked like a cute, normal catch-up. And yeah, I was shocked. I think you got a lot of people, like, because usually people do like the whole photo shoot or something with the bump, or I don't even know, like a little flat lay. So I liked how unique your post was.
Thank you. I had nothing planned. I didn't even know if or when we were going to share, if it was just going to be like, hey, here's a baby. Because I was like, we'll be abroad.
I would not be surprised if you did that. Pulled a Kylie Jenner on all of us. Like, that would, like, you could totally pull that off.
I thought about it. Jesse and I were talking about it when I had told her. And I did debate. I was like, I'm either just going to tell people like now straight away, or I'm going to wait. But I love being transparent about my life. And I've also realized, like, telling people you're pregnant, people are so nice to you and everyone's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally anyone I've told I'm pregnant, it like just makes everyone's day. It's like so fun and so happy. And people are so sweet. And I'm just in the best way, like overwhelmed with all of the messages and support. I'm like, whoa, I didn't know people cared so much. This is so nice. So I think it was good to be reminded of like, whoa, this baby is already so loved. It's not just me and Clay and our families. Like, I was like looking at how many people like saw the posts and like telling baby, so many people care about you already. And I felt like not telling anyone. I didn't want it to feel and to give any sort of energy to the baby that I was trying to hide them. I'm like, no, I want you to know how many people are excited for you to be here.
That's very beautiful and so true. Everyone is very excited, and babies are such a blessing. So
yeah, so thank you guys. And I'll link the post if you're wondering what we're talking about. Because yeah, I just put like the ultrasound at the end and was like, special trip to Mexico City.
McKenna, she hadn't texted me, and it had been like 2 hours since you posted it. And I was like, I had to text her because, you know, McKenna works with babies literally every single day. I was like, did you see Allison's Instagram post? And then she called me afterwards. She goes, I was reading the caption. I saw the stork emoji. And I said, stork emoji? Why is there a stork emoji? And I was like, yes. So she was very excited, of course. But McKenna was just like, stork emoji?
I know. So I tried to pick the emojis very carefully because I was like, okay, it's like a stork / mother goose something.
Goose. But I was goose. Like, yeah.
It's definitely giving like mother energy. And then I was like, I'll do a yellow flower to say like, we don't know the gender yet. And then I did the sun peeking out of the cloud because it's like our little ray of sunshine in our life right now.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. A little behind the scenes.
It's literally been 40 minutes. I'm sorry, guys. This whole episode.
No, this was much needed. That's what we're here for.
I'll keep giving updates. And I also appreciate that no one has given me any unsolicited advice about it. I want to do a home birth with a midwife. And everyone was like, that tracks. Sounds like what we expected.
No one's batting an eye. It's like, yeah, no. And it's so normal. It's more normalized nowadays, for sure. I know people that have had very successful home births.
Well, very, very, very last thing. Kara and I recorded an episode for April Patreon, and we talked about pregnancy and parenthood. And we were talking about it because I was like telling Kara that this is so TMI. Sorry, everyone. But we got pregnant on the first try. Like, it wasn't a surprise, but it wasn't planned. And we were like, there's no way we'd actually get pregnant on the first try. Like, who does that happen to? And I mean, first try ever in like our whole 7 years. Like, this is the first time we were not careful. So we're like, we're probably not going to be pregnant. And it was 3 weeks after my period. So I should have been done ovulating, but my period, like, I think I talked about it a few months ago. Like, my cycle switched. I was a full moon ovulator, and it switched to new moon. So like, something happened because this baby wanted to be here, and my whole cycle had to get switched up. But in that Patreon episode, I'm curious now, if you guys are Patreon members, did you know? Because I feel like we really hinted at it, and there were some things that I was like, should I cut this? Because if you know, you know. Like, it definitely, we're talking about it.
Yeah, because you kind of said in the Patreon, like, oh, we're kind of trying. Haha. And then, like, you actually did get pregnant. And so everyone on the Patreon, you guys knew first, kind of.
Yeah, they did. Because I would have already been, like, six weeks or something when we recorded that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I knew immediately that we were pregnant. I could just feel it in my body. And so one day I just told Clay, I'm like, can you go get the pregnancy test? And then we took it together. And then it was the darkest two lines I've ever seen. And I took this test at like 11:30 p.m. And usually when you're like that early, you're supposed to do it in the morning. And of course, it's in Spanish. So it's like positivo, negativo. We're like, oh, that is positivo.
Yeah, there's no language barrier. That is positive. That's so funny.
Okay, thank you for letting me share. I'm really going to stop now. So sorry if this was a bore to you guys. I just have been dying to tell you all.
No, that was not a bore. And we want all the details. So please share whenever. This is the already friends baby that's coming. Like, it's like all of us. We all care. And like
thank
you said, he's already so loved. So we're very here for the updates. Do not apologize.
Thank you.
Should we read listeners' peaks?
Yes.
This one's sweet. Jillian said, I ran out of fuel 100 kilometers from the closest town and a stranger rescued me. That's so kind. Shout out to that stranger. And I'm glad that you made it out of that situation. Okay.
Aw, Ray said, I went to the first farmer's market of the year and spent all day in the sunshine with my son. Sounds like a fabulous day.
Okay. Anna said, my travel romance invited me to England to visit him. So I did. And it was so fun. Wow. Sounds like a rom-com in the making. Glad you had a great time.
I was like, I'm going to read that one too. Because what a story. No. I love it. Like, we're both like, never seen this submission before.
Truly crazy. I hope that something flourishes.
Aw. And Beck said, feeling the relief that I'm going to be okay post breakup. Sending you a big hug. You definitely are going to be okay. You already are. And just going to keep getting better.
As always, send in your peaks on our Instagram story box. We post our peak of the week box every Monday. Okay, getting into what would your bestie do? As always, you guys can send in your questions on our website. It's alreadyfriendspodcast.com/WWYBD. Okay, our first question. Hi guys, I'm taking FMLA leave, which I just Googled this. If you don't know, it's family medical leave from my job starting in July. Are there any places you suggest to visit or to travel to for grief and anxiety healing? I want to do some travel healing. Thanks.
The two places that first come to mind for me are Sedona, Arizona and Joshua Tree, both because those worked for me when I needed some alone time. And I think it's because they're really nature oriented and they have a small population. So if you go, you have enough time to like process whatever it is that's like going through your mind and your heart, but also they're like cute and trendy enough that you're not without some niceties. Like, you can still go to a cute coffee shop or get a massage, go to a yoga class. You could get a nice Airbnb or hotel room by yourself and spend a lot of time in nature.
Yeah, those are great suggestions. Definitely nature. That was my first thought too. Somewhere in nature. So maybe a national park. I wouldn't be opposed to just driving in my car and getting some camping gear and just like going to the national park, because I feel like being in nature, but also maybe some hiking. So maybe Grand Tetons National Park, that's in Wyoming near Jackson Hole, or Montana. Luckily in the US, I feel like there's a lot of nature, don't bring a phone, just hike and camp. And I feel like there's a lot of places for that in a variety of budget ranges. I would do something like that. If you didn't want to pay for like a retreat, you can camp in your car at the national parks. I think a camping pass is like $30 or $40 a night. I feel like that would be very healing. And yeah, don't bring a phone, or just bring your phone, but don't be on it as much. If you really want to go somewhere crazy, the Camino de Santiago also came to mind. It's a 500-mile hike, and it's something that it can be a religious pilgrimage, or people just do it when they have these big life changes. And you go, and I think it's like a month long. I guess it varies on how fast you walk. But you walk from town to town, from like Spain to Portugal or Portugal to Spain. And it's the Camino de Santiago, and it's supposed to be very transformative, and you get a certificate afterwards. But every night you're just like staying in these cheap hostels with other pilgrims. And I have seen people on TikTok say that it's a very transformative experience. So that could be a good one too.
Oh my gosh, I love that you brought that one up. I'm somehow in that Facebook group, and someone posted the other day like, okay, well, I came on this to heal, but now how do I heal in order to get back to civilization? Because I loved being on the walk and it taught me so much. They were like, I just want to live on the walk forever. And so people were like giving them advice on how to take the lessons that they learned from it and reintegrate back into their normal life. But I love that suggestion. That'd be really profound, especially if you're taking the whole month off.
Yeah, oh, that would be a good, really, really good one. So definitely look into that one. But if you can't go all the way, I guess I don't know where you live, but if you can't go across the pond, if you are in the US, don't sleep on any of the nature-y places here.
All right. Question number two. What advice do you have to overcome the possible judgment from your friends and family to start an influencer account on Instagram? I've been wanting to start one for so long, but I'm scared of being judged or not supported.
I've seen some really good videos on this lately. I literally saw one yesterday, so it's funny that I got this question, but really good video, and I'll link it. It was from this girl. Her account's called The Lazy Millionaire. And she basically said, I like money more than I care about being judged and more than I care about being seen as cringy. So for me, she's like, I'm just going to post my stuff because I like the money and the opportunities that come from it more than I care about being considered cringe. And I was like, damn, that's such a good point. Because I think certain personalities get caught up on certain things with social media. For me, being thought of as cringe is lower on my, I kind of just live in like ignorant bliss, which has worked out for me. So I don't think about how I'm going to be perceived as much. But in the times where people have told me that people were talking about me and saying my stuff was cringe, that was a thought that came to mind. I'm like, okay, well, when they see the checks that you get for doing brand deals, they'll understand that I don't really care if they think it's cringe. So I thought that was very good advice, because just the opportunity of what you can get from it in building your business or building your personal brand, or just, yeah, becoming a thought leader or an expert in a certain field, then getting brand deals for certain brands in your area of interest. But yeah, I just feel like also you could just be going about your day-to-day life and people could be judging you. Even if you're not an influencer, people are going to judge you at your day-to-day job, going to the gym. I don't know, like literally anywhere people can be judging you. So I don't know why we get so hung up on the online persona. People think it's cringe. Literally everyone posting online is cringe until they make it and they're successful. And then people think you're cool and want to be your friend and like leech onto you and your opportunities. So there's another really good video of this girl, Tess. It's either Tess or Tessa, but she made a video about climbing Cringe Mountain, and like you have to post and put yourself out there and possibly be quote unquote cringe to get to the top of the mountain. And then once you're at the top, everyone thinks you're cool, like an Emma Chamberlain, like, or someone who's made it as a content creator. No one thinks those people are cringe, but maybe in the beginning they had to climb the Cringe Mountain to make it to the top, and now everyone thinks they're cool. So I think that's a part of the journey. But what people think of you is none of your business. And I say go for it, because it could change your life. And you don't want to live your life regretting not trying because you were scared what people were going to think of you.
I think that's great advice. My first thought was, often with business or being a content creator, the people that end up supporting you and being your most loyal customers or followers are often strangers. It's not usually like your immediate family and like your cousins and the people from high school that are always like commenting on your stuff, sharing it, supporting your small business, whatever. Like, of course, my immediate family and my loved ones and my good friends like support the shop, but it doesn't mean that they're like in there every single day. It doesn't mean that every person that's really close to me listens to every episode of our podcast. Like, the ratio of how many people listen to our show that are strangers versus how many people we know, it's like way, way, way more strangers. And so I think if you can think about it more like a business that's like, hey, I'm not opening this business like for my immediate circle. I'm opening this to make money, to get my name out there, to propel the brand forward. And if you guys want to support it, cool. But like, me doing this is not riding on your approval. I'd love you guys to support me, but like, I'm going to do it anyway. And I think that'll help you in the long run to not need their approval, because you're probably not going to get it from everyone anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And two more thoughts. One, as long as you feel good about what you're sharing and don't feel like you're being disrespectful to anybody, because I know sometimes people do go online and then they share things about other people in their life that maybe nowadays I feel like airing out your dirty laundry with like drama and like people around you, that I feel like that can be icky. But like, I don't think that's what you're going to do at all. I feel like that's a very, very small percentage of people that post online. So I mean, as long as you're sharing stuff that doesn't, I don't know, affect other people, I say to not even worry about what people are going to think about you. And also that anyone that's doing better than you is not going to judge you. And always think about that. Like, you always hear about all these people that have Reddit pages or people are talking bad about them. Anyone doing better than that person posting is not in a Reddit page talking crap about them. And anyone that's in those pages, like, they're just sad, miserable people that you don't want following you anyways. And like, if anything, having people judging you or thinking that you're cringe, it's kind of a sign of success. That means you're doing something. You're reaching people. I think it'll be fine. It's all gonna be good. I say start the account, because it truly can change your life. And being scared and worrying about people's opinions that you literally can't control, it's not gonna do much for you.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Next question. Hi, besties. I have a career-related question. I've worked my job as a graphic designer for 4 years now, and it was my first job out of college. How do I know when it's time to switch jobs or companies? I love what I do, and the flexibility of a work-from-home position is great, but I also want to grow my skills and make sure I'm continuing to challenge myself. Change is scary. I want to try something new, but I'm scared of losing the flexibility of my current job, and I'm worried the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Please advise.
Well, ultimately, it sounds like you're seeking some sort of change. And I love that you are considering if the grass isn't greener, because a lot of times in life that we're wishing for something better. But I really do think the grass is greener wherever you water it. And there's going to be pros and cons to everything. I've also now been working from home for the last year. Like, everything has been remote. And on the plus side, it's given me so much flexibility. It's given me the opportunity to move to Tulum. The downside is, like, I really miss getting ready and going somewhere and feeling that sense of like accomplishment. Like, okay, I got ready for the day. I left the house. I got to do something with my hands. I got to interact with people. Now I can go home and feel like I like checked the work box. When you're working from home, it's really easy to just kind of like always be working. But then it's nice because if you're at home, you can throw in a load of laundry. laundry, you can do other stuff during the day. So I don't think that one path is necessarily better than the other. It's really just what you make it. And I think as humans, we are wired to have a variety of experiences. And if you just feel like a little stagnant in your current situation, like maybe you're just seeking something different. It sounds like you want to grow. It sounds like you want to challenge yourself. So whether the new position, if you could go back to the office at your current job just to change it up, or whether you move to a new company, at least it's a new experience that's going to give you new connections, new tools, a change of pace in your life, new lessons. And maybe you have to give up some of that flexibility that you have, but like, that's okay. Like, it's all a give and a take. And that's what I think keeps the balance and the equilibrium in order for everything in the world. Like, there's always goods and bads for everything.
Yeah, I say go for it. Find a new job, apply for something different, because every single job I've had, I've learned something. And I kind of do believe that you can, you know, kind of learn everything you're going to learn at certain jobs, at certain positions. And if you've been there for 4 years, I feel like you maybe have kind of hit that mark, and that's okay. And if you do end up staying, that's so fine too. Like you said, change is scary. And there is a lot that comes with changing positions. You have to make all new impressions again. You got to learn systems again. So it is a lot of a undertaking, but you just graduated 4 years ago, so you are new in your career. And I think in the beginning of your career, going to different companies and trying to get different experiences under your belt from different work environments, different leaders, different bosses is very invaluable at this time. So I say switch it up, start casually looking at other positions, maybe reach out to your network and see of who knows of what openings there are at certain places, because I think to me, this clearly sounds like you're about to have a pivotal moment where you're about to learn even more and grow a lot for a new role.
And with change, I mentioned it last week, when you're worried about something, a tactic that I did with the baby and the appointment and the Netherlands and the visas and the marriage license, I wrote out like, okay, what am I worried about? Because I feel like when you're going through change, sometimes like there's so many thoughts going through your mind that it's like, what am I even actually worried about? And like your body kind of starts to overreact. So writing it out on paper and being in identifying each thing that you're actually worried about, and then come up with some sort of answer. And if you can live with the reality or the worst case scenario of each thing, if that's the worst, then like, okay, that's all you're scared of. And you can live with that. You're, everything that you've made it up to at this point was scary to you at some point in time. It was new. It was different. You overcame it. You learned something, and like life moved forward. And so it's going to keep happening, and you're going to do great.
Amazing.
All right. Last question. I know your listener base is almost entirely women, but I had a question coming from a gay guy's perspective that I'm hoping you could give your two cents on. Being a gay guy, I gravitate towards the girls, and basically my entire friend group are girls. I love them to death and truly feel the love back. But on the contrary, I think it's really easy to be left out being the only guy. I get it. It makes sense. But when it's always you being left out of the dinner plans, pre-games, grad photos, living arrangement, it makes me wonder if it's truly because of my gender or if I need better friends. Any advice? Would love to hear your thoughts from a female perspective.
This is a really good question, and I'm glad you sent this in. Obviously, I don't know what it's like being a gay guy, so I'll give the female perspective like you asked. At first, I wanted to say like, oh, these are bad friends. Like, this probably doesn't have to do with your gender. But now I kind of feel like it is maybe like some subconsciously, like there is something with you being a guy and the girls maybe just like subconsciously have like a girl mentality where they just maybe naturally gravitate towards each other for things. I really don't think that they mean it intentionally. And if it were me in the situation of being a friend that's accidentally leaving somebody out, I would want to know, because I feel like I would be devastated, because they probably don't realize that they're doing it. I feel like there has to just be some like subconscious reason, especially if you said like you guys love each other and you guys all have really great dynamics. So maybe just have a conversation of just feeling, letting them know that you're feeling a little bit left out, because I feel like it's probably extremely unintentional, but I feel like they can be pointed out to it. And then if you point it out and then it does keep happening, then you can kind of get a little bit of validation. And I feel like you should tell them that it's leaving you a little bit upset, because hopefully they can course correct, because I don't think you need better friends. I think it's just some psychological thing, sociological thing.
I agree. And I think even if you're gay, the dynamics can change when it's like all one gender. Because when I would go visit Clay and he had his, I think, three or four other guy roommates, like, I don't think that they minded me there. But I'm like, obviously the way they talk to each other and play their video games and do things is different when I'm around. And I know that there would definitely be times where I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to dinner with my friends. Like, you guys are clearly like doing your thing right now. And not taking that personally, because it really is about the other people. I agree with Kara. Ask them and let them know that you do feel left out, because they might also be wondering if you want to come or to be included in some of these things, because they might not want you to feel like, oh, you're the only guy in the grad photos, or, oh, are you comfortable living with women? Because there might be some of that on the two-way street where they're not trying to make you feel like singled out. And so they don't know if they should ask you for some things and don't want to put you in a situation where you have to say no. So I think if you truly let them know, like, yes, I want to be involved in these things. Like, I think of myself as one of the girls. Like, I want to be there. To me, it does not matter if I'm the only boy. I think that that will give them a lot of like support and help so that they know how to approach these events or activities in the future.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. So until you talk to them, I don't think we can say whether or not they're being good or bad friends, because, yeah, unfortunately, I do think there's some, I guess, is that psychology or sociology? But maybe it's psychology of like, I think there's some back end, they're not conscious of it, something that's like making this happen. And I think after you have the conversation and how they respond to what you say, that will tell you whether or not you need to look for new friends.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you're approaching this with such a level head. Like, I love the way you phrased all of this, and you are taking both of your guys' sides into consideration. So I wish you the best in this. And I hope that they come around to it and start inviting you more. And you seem like you have such a good heart. So I really hope they pull through for you.
Oh, couldn't agree more. Okay, well, thank you guys for being here for another What Would Your Bestie Do? As always, you can send in those questions on our website.
And then we will compile them into the episode for the last Wednesday of every month. Thanks for hanging out today. And if you enjoy the WWYBD format, also on our website is a list and links for all of the What Would Your Bestie Do episodes. I feel like these get a different side of us sometimes. Hopefully next week, I don't have any more crazy updates for you guys. I feel like I'm going to have a vulnerability hangover in the next couple of days once it really hits me that I've overshared so many big things with thousands of people around the world. But nonetheless, I feel like more loved than I ever have right now. And thank you guys for being a part of all of the ages and stages of my life and Kara's life. And we appreciate you guys hanging out with us. And we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.